Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Frank Show, starring Frank. And the not ready for the iTunes top 100 players, Adam Smasher and Luis Latore. And now here's your host, Frank.
That's it.
You get
that? I thought I was just coming along to comment on things. I didn't realize I was actually the focus of the discussion.
I practiced that in front of a mirror for a week.
Nice. That was actually very impressive.
And this is what I do my best Don Pardo, which is not great. And this is what you do.
It's still excellent ring announcer, though.
I guess.
That was awesome, actually.
Just add music to it. Let me...
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Post-production, just add some awesome music.
Yeah. Wow. That was very spirited.
I came with energy. I haven't eaten yet. Either, well, so.
Wow.
Yeah. I will be crashing very soon.
Glad I brought markers.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So what else did you do this week other than not eat?
The not eating was just right now, which I will rectify later.
Mm.
It's not like a stance I'm taking or anything like that.
It's not a hunger strike for Ireland or anything?
No, nothing like that. I'm not eating until the Brexit is over.
That's right.
Oh,
till they're back in the EU.
Till they cancel the Brexit, yeah.
Till they're back in the EU, I'm not eating anything.
Wow. That's cool.
I will probably die.
We're all going to die.
Sooner than I had hoped, I guess.
Gotcha.
So what'd you do this week? I'll start with you.
Okay.
We'll flip the tables.
The slog of 30 days of Godzilla, which is, I think, taken much closer to about 80 or 90.
Is the whole thing a slog, or is a slog because you're basically at the end, right?
No, it's not that. It's a slog because I'm just, you know, now that I'm back on that day shift schedule, and then of course the whole trying to make better choices and, you know, lose a few pounds.
Sure.
When I lay down to go to sleep, I'm out. So I get about 15 minutes into it and I'm out. So it's been taking days to get through one film, but I'm reaching a close. There's only two left.
How's your poopies? I'm just kidding.
What?
That's a question your mom asks. Like, how are your BMs?
How are your BMs? Yeah, that's true. Are you eating enough roughage? That's what people born in the 40s and 50s say instead of fiber.
Roughage?
Have you eaten enough roughage? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the antiquated term for fiber. So, just, I didn't know if you knew that.
No.
A little bit of trivia.
I knew what it meant.
How's your roughage?
I didn't know people actually asked, how's your roughage?
Yeah, my mom used to.
I thought it was the thing doctors said, like, you need to start eating more roughage.
Well, that too, yeah.
Well, now they just say, hey, take more fiber.
Take more fiber.
Take a fiber supplement. You know what? I had one doctor
actually
tell me, like, he goes, no, not freaking grains, fruits and vegetables. That's the kind of fiber you want. Stay away from grains. I was like, he's taking a nutrition class. Very good. I mean, all fiber's good, but you know.
Do they make a fiber supplement that's not?
I don't know. I honestly don't even know what fiber supplements are made out of. I don't take them.
Sure. Psyllium wheat.
Psyllium? Oh, so it's wheat.
So then no.
So wheat.
So then not good.
Well, not as good as fruits and vegetables, I would assume.
Sure. But fruits and vegetables are gross.
No, it's great. You just kind of sit down, do your thing, go. Little meetings during the day. You know, not one big meeting at 4 o'clock. Yeah. Little meetings.
Little meetings.
Little poops.
Little poopsies.
Yeah. Yeah, not an exciting week. Just like I said, just trying to get through. However, I did get a birthday present early, which I'm super excited about, from my mom, actually. Well, I picked it. She just paid for it. That was like a month ago. That was an early birthday present. Okay.
It doesn't matter. I told you.
First, I did get a birthday present really early from Frank, which was over a month ago, which is an amazing board game, which we'll actually talk about later.
And then my presence in your life is your present.
There you go.
That's why you call it a present.
Great.
That's why it's called
presence.
Anyway.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar
with the... You're welcome, by the way. There you...
United Planet Starship C-57D. I got two models.
Explain to people what that is, because...
No.
There's, I think there's people out there who would probably...
Trivia. Just Google C-57D.
Why do you have to make this difficult?
Okay, it's from Forbidden Planet, which is a classic 50s science fiction, which I did not know this until very recently.
Mm-hmm.
It flopped when it came out. It flopped and virtually disappeared until the 70s when MGM released it as part of their summer matinee series, which I was very much involved in. You might have been too. It's where I saw a lot of the Godzilla movies. And I saw Forbidden Planet and stuff like that.
I was there in spirit.
And they had changed the music all up. And apparently through that, it had found such a cult following that they re-released it in the late 70s or early 80s with the soundtrack restored. And then ever since then, it's been a popular science fiction classic. And it is a very big forerunner to Star Trek. I mean, when you watch it, if you're familiar with the old Star Trek show, it makes a lot of sense. Like, wow, okay. I see where Roddenberry got a lot of inspiration from.
I'm surprised to hear it flopped. It is such a good looking movie.
Yeah, you know. I'm pulling this out of my butt because I don't remember, but it was something along the lines of I think it cost like $5 million to make, which was pretty expensive at the time. Yeah. It was a big budget. It was a big MGM budget, and I think it like between U.S. and worldwide, I think it made like $5,200,000 or something like that, and that was it. So it didn't make. I mean, it did make money, but not a lot of money.
But, I didn't know for a long time that it was Leslie Nielsen.
But and it was Leslie Nielsen, that's right. Yeah,
I'm serious.
Walter Pidgeon, Anne Francis, Earl Holliman's actually in it. Very young Earl Holliman. He plays Cook. Stuff like that. Robbie the Robot, that's his big debut, which he was on a crap ton of TV in the 60s and 70s.
Which, by the way, they have a life-size model of at the Atomic Museum.
Nice. Oh, they do. That's right.
Yeah.
And I've got a little one at my office, thanks to you.
Hooray!
What? Oh, you have the little
The Pops. Yeah.
Yeah, the Pops, yeah. And I got the 14-inch or 15-inch. It's a nice one, though.
Robbie the Robot?
Yeah, it was Robbie the Robot, yeah. Wow, that came out wrong. Yes, a Robbie the Robot.
Oh, good.
Because I'm a cyborg.
I thought we had switched conversation.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But no, it was a deal I made with a friend because he actually owned a shop and he had it and it was amazing.
Mm.
And I said, well, he helped me get The Walking Dead like graded and everything.
Yeah.
Because I sold my Walking Dead collection. And I said, well, you know, when I make what I'm asking for it, I'll buy that. And I did, and I guess he had forgotten and actually like bought it himself. But he owned the store because it had sat there for like a year. So I went in, I'm like, hey. So he sold it back to me. So I was like, woo. So I got it.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I've seen it. It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I want it. I've got the small one, and then I've got like a bigger Pops one.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But that's it. I don't have the 14-inch.
I do like Robbie. One. I mean, it's dated, but at the time it was some cool stuff. And the ship, I actually got two of them for my mom because they were on sale because I guess they've had them sitting around a long time. But one of them's lighted and one of them's not. And I'm just anxious to like build them both and make one look like it's flying and one like it's landed.
Mm.
Someday I'll have a place to display all this stuff. Anyway, that was my week. Anyway, I'm boring you with my own minutia of trivia. Yeah, exactly.
Keeping your virginity safe.
That's right. Keeping my virginity safe since 1968.
Like, I thought that's what D&D did.
That's different that now. Too. That too.
Different now, but yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Well, so what about you?
What did I do?
What about you, Captain Pink Shirt?
See, you're jealous. I can see it in your eyes. Because that's the thing people do when they're a little bit scared. They're frightened as they act out the way you're acting out.
Well, you know, for a very brief period of time in the late 80s.
By the way, I am wearing a pink shirt.
When I did watch wrestling, I was a Bret Hart fan.
In a closet-sized room.
Yeah.
I was a Bret Hart fan, so I liked Bret Hart. And I really liked his brother Owen Hart and his various personas.
i.e. the blue blazer?
Hell yeah. Dude was awesome. He was Spider-Man in the ring.
Yeah, basically. But,
yeah.
Well, yes, I'm wearing a pink shirt that has the
Bret Hart.
SummerSlam 92 match between Bret Hart and the British Bulldog.
Hell yeah.
Which he won.
Well, when you explain it, I actually think it's pretty cool.
And yeah, the British Bulldog won. Because they were at they were in London. They were at the Wembley Stadium.
Nice.
They had that match, and the British Bulldog won, and he, of course, to a gigantic ovation. Because
now
he's British.
He's British. Now, why don't you explain why it doesn't actually show any kind of trademarked indicia?
All right.
Because what it says is the summer of 92,
yeah,
the Great British Challenge, live mm-hmm. from London, England, August 19th, 1992. And it has a line art version of Bret Hart and the British Bulldog without any facial detail.
Yes.
So why is it so vague?
Because this is not an officially licensed WWE product.
Well, I figured that.
And they own the characters?
Yes. But I mean, is there a reason why the shirt was sold? Is it like a benefit? Or just because
no.
it's a cool shirt?
No, no, no.
also, there's no cool story behind it?
No, not really. I got it out of a thing called a WrestleCrate, which is like it's like a monthly subscription service where you get a box of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I got this shirt.
Like Sweet. Loot crates.
Same yeah, it's like a loot crate. Okay. Yeah, but for wrestling.
Well, that's actually really cool then.
And yeah, they don't have the... Gotcha. I guess they don't have the copyright to be able to use Bret Hart or the British Bulldog. So they just...
Still cool.
Did whatever they could with it, I guess. Yeah, and they don't have faces.
But. Well, I did get a Cult TV Man t-shirt.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
I should have worn it today. I didn't even think about that. From CultTVMan.com.
Oh, okay.
It's not as crazy as it sounds. Just Google it. It's a modeling website for like scale models.
Yeah. So,
mostly science fiction and horror. So what did you do this week? What were you doing this week?
Besides getting this awesome shirt.
Okay.
I got to hang out with my nieces and nephews, and we got to play in the pool for the summer, and I did not get burnt once.
Oh, nice.
So nice. There's that.
Nice. We get throwing them around like floppy fish.
That was fun. Oh,
like
yeah.
Little kids. They're like, tiny. Throw me. Yeah.
They're small. They're small children. Yeah. So I use my overwhelming power to pick them up and throw them into the pool.
Yeah.
And that was a good time for everybody.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I miss doing that. I remember when the kids started to get big and they'd be like, throw me. And it got to the point where like Mikey, my nephew, throw me. I'm like, dude, you're like 14. You weigh 170 pounds. Ain't going to happen, buddy.
Throw me.
I'm not a small dude, but come on. Let's be realistic.
Imagine if you left and you came back and you were like, oh, let's go have pool fun time. Throw me. Yeah,
yeah. And now, of course, he's like 6'5". Yeah, he's 6'5", like 230, 240.
Throw me.
Come on, you wussy.
Yeah, it's funny because I got there. I got to my cousin's house, and everyone who was there, because it was this whole get together.
Yep.
They were like, "Hey, we listened to your show," and I'm like, "Oh, good, that's awesome." And they're like, "We like it. It's great."
It wasn't like
it sounds. No.
It was a genuine. We're like, "It's good. It's good."
No.
No.
No. I think they were being genuine. It didn't sound like how I said it just now, all sarcastic. No, we listened to your show. It's great.
Not like that?
No, not like that. Good. A little more enthusiastic. Yeah. They liked it, and I appreciated that. And I think the kids knew.
That's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the only reason I'm bringing up the pool thing is because my niece wanted me to.
She's like, tell the station.
Right? Yeah. She was telling me, she was like, tell the station. We were playing in the pool. And I was like, tell who?
I am the station.
Tell the station we were playing in the pool. And I'm like, I don't understand. What does that mean? What station? And someone had explained to me, like, oh, no, your show. Tell them on the show that we were playing in the pool. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I can do that.
That's cool.
So that's for Karen.
There you go.
And Kylie.
Nice.
And Benjamin.
Nice.
All the kids I threw around.
Did you measure how far you could throw each one?
Oh, yes. Like, yeah. It was like, it was like lawn darts.
Yeah. Oh, they're really little, then.
Yeah. It was like, yeah.
Oh, it's fun when you're that little because you can just, they're that little because you can just chuck them. Just woo.
Yep. Didn't think twice about it. It was great.
Yeah,
it's good fun.
They hit 8 or 9. It's not so easy. You're like really like sit on my hands.
It's now it's like throw me. Sure. And then when they hit about 10 or 11, throw me. You're out of your goddamn mind.
You get a little crazy there, buddy.
So
that's cool.
Shout out to them, I guess. And then I kept doing my summer movie spectacular
jamboree. Phantasma.
Super happy fun time.
Yeah, I forgot what we called it.
I don't remember either.
Super awesome summer movie jamboree fest.
Yeah. 16. I've done it 16 times. I don't think I've done it 16
2016.
Times. Oh, sure. Oh, 16. apostrophe 16.
That's right, yeah.
I watched a movie called Bill, which is...
Bill?
Yeah, which is about that period about William Shakespeare. Before he was famous, and then when he was actually famous, there's this whole gray area where you don't actually know what he did.
Oh, kind of like Jesus between, 12 and 33? 33,
yeah. Kind of like that. So this they made this
and
movie.
And yes, I made a comparison of Jesus to Shakespeare, because for writers, Shakespeare is pretty damn important.
He is. And it is a funny movie. It was very goofy. It was kind of Monty Python-ish.
Really?
Yeah. It was funny as hell, though.
That seems odd.
I learned that Catholics can't grow muscle mass because God hates them. That is a line in the movie. It's really? It's an oddball movie. It's very goofy, but it's awesome. It's very funny.
That's all the fish and stuff. It's just it not...
sounds vaguely bro code.
Yeah, it does.
No. I forgot what the guy's name was, but he was talking to like one of the ladies of court, and she was like, "I heard the Spanish were hunky," and he goes, "Well, you heard wrong. Catholics can't grow muscle mass because God hates them."
What?
Because this is, of course, when you know England was like anti-Catholic.
Well, yeah, when Henry, whichever Henry it was,
broke away from the Catholic Church, the Queen at the time. I think this is after that.
Oh, it was after that.
Yeah. So the
Protestants, they were all Protestants.
I took a shot on that movie, and I think I did well because it was good. I saw it and I was like, oh, William Shakespeare. Oh, it's a comedy. Okay, I'll give it a try. Huh. It's a BBC comedy. So
interesting.
It's funny.
Never
hilarious. You never heard of it? I'll let you borrow it.
Sweet.
I'll just add it to the stack of movies. You know what? Forget it.
Yeah.
you're already borrowing enough things.
I do. Yeah.
And I would like to have it back promptly. So, unless you add it to your collection and forget that it's mine.
No, I don't forget. I'm good about that.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I remember buying this.
I know recently there's been just sort of this weird spate of, you should watch this. Oh, I do eventually. I'll lend it to you. We'll hold off because, you know, I'm in the middle of Godzilla. I still got to watch these movies. And then it's like, well, here, just give it back when you're done. And now I have like a stack. It's like, oh my God.
Do you know what's in your stack?
I do, actually. Should I go?
I think so. I need to know what's in your stack.
Formula 51, which honestly I don't care to watch.
What the hell is that?
It's good. It was a movie with Sam Jackson and Robert Carlyle.
Oh, okay.
From like 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Oh, all right.
And then there's Utena, which is an anime.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Cowboy Bebop, which, yes, I know, I've never seen, which I get a lot of flack for.
Boo. Everybody boo this man. Boo. <Yeah. laughs>
I do get a lot of ire for that. Like, you've never seen Cowboy Bebop.
So, which only makes things worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel.
And then, of course, there's Creed,
which you bought.
Which I bought and still haven't watched. It's in that pile. There's another movie like
that movie
too,
made
and
me.
I can't think of what it is. There's another movie I bought and have not watched yet.
That movie made me secrete weakness water out of my eyes at the end.
Yeah. Well, it's Rocky VII, so, you know, you got
to. I cried. That's what that means. Frank's giving me a weird look. I cried. I didn't cry, like, openly wept, like a tear. He has one line, and the one line was like, oh my God. And then
Well, it's like that one speech from Rocky Balboa, which. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the movie didn't do bad, but it wasn't a big hit, which is a shame, because I don't know if you saw Rocky Balboa.
No,
that's
I have not.
Like, that redeemed a lot of the crap that Rocky sort of devolved into, especially in Rocky V, which is just... I mean, it's good. Actually, like, the first two acts are pretty good, but the third act is just so bad, it just ruined the movie. Plus, it kind of, like, left a bad stain on the whole Rocky franchise. And then Rocky Balboa is just a solid, dramatic film.
That was the one that came out a few years ago, right? Like, 2009, 10?
I was going to say, yeah, it was like 2007 or 8, I think, or maybe 9.
Okay.
See, I was sure you were talking about, you were crying about Cowboy Bebop. And what a wonderful series it is. I dug it out for Adam so that
great
he could enjoy
action.
It too, but somebody beat me to it. But it's been sitting there, like earmarked. I got post-its on it.
Yeah.
For
give
Adam.
To Adam. Yeah.
And somebody brought me to tears.
Somebody
when Ed ran off with Ayn, I cried.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope do you see what you're doing? Means. You're killing Frank.
Jeez.
Why'd I show up?
Don't throw the headphones. Don't throw the headphones. Jeez. Nah.
It'd be great if even your mom's like, Cowboy Bebop, what are you doing with this? And I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it?
Yeah, she is pretty hip. I mean, she has a PS4. She plays all the new games. So
you're killing me. You're killing your mother. Yeah, you're killing your mother.
So which one of us is going to text her or call her to say, hey, he really wants Cowboy Bebop for his birthday?
I already bought him those shit things.
It's not that I don't want to watch it. I just haven't had a chance. I've been trying to get through these Godzilla films.
So. Does this also make you want to kind of loan him a bunch of things like, hey, you ever seen Initial D? It's basically Dragon Ball with Japanese cars racing down the mountain.
That sounds awesome.
It is.
It's another thing. Five
pile. Have you seen Redline?
The anime Redline?
Yeah.
The anime Redline, not the movie Redline.
Yeah, the anime. The anime. It's a movie, but it's an anime.
No, I'm talking about the movie that came before it with...
No, not the American one. This is a Japanese...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The anime one.
Yeah.
See, there's a live-action Initial D.
I can't say... Is there? I don't know. I want to see that,
It's got the Drift King in it.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't think the movie is the same as the anime, like, at all. Isn't the anime set in the future or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It's in space. There's, like, they travel to planets and then race on those planets.
The other movie is not in space.
And let me tell you about Redline real quick, just for, like, 30 seconds.
It is. Do you have it? Can I borrow it so I can put it in my pile and not watch it for a few months?
I don't. I do want to buy it, though. It's just... It, you know, I wouldn't even say the movie's that good.
Mm.
It's just so bat crazy.
Sure.
I'm sorry. It's just so bat crap crazy. It is just a crazy film. Mm-hmm. And the animation's so cool.
I've still got Who Made Who on beta. I'm going to loan it to you.
Ah, wow.
I want you to watch it.
How am I going to do that?
got a beta machine? First of all, who doesn't have a beta?
Yeah. What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah. Where are you in your life that you don't have you still don't have a beta?
Yeah, doesn't
machine. What?
Still don't have a beta?
Or didn't it come with your Subaru underneath the wooden craft beer crate?
I wish.
It had one of those curly Q mustaches on it.
Yeah. I think at this point we can say that betas are no longer relevant. They may have been a better quality than VHS,
I would disagree with you.
If I go back and I dig that out of the barn and it still plays in good quality, I expect you to take that back on air. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If I can
find a retraction on air.
Yeah. I will buy a special box to plug those cables into that'll digitally convert it and I can record stuff off of there.
Remember that Cowboy Bebop where they were looking through the old VHS tapes?
Where he was at the pawn shop. Yeah, the guy had a bunch
really?
Of...
They yeah. really were.
Oh,
he
wow.
had a bunch cool. of VCRs and a
Were they
a
betas
bunch of
or
TVs.
VHSs?
They get betas and VHSs.
He had a little rant about how much better beta was, actually. The guy who was working at the pawn shop.
Yeah. It was at the time.
And then Spike proceeds to kick one of the beta machines or one of the VCRs machines.
To make it work. Yeah.
To make it work, yeah. And the guy's like freaking out. He's like, what? My ship works better when I kick it.
Wow.
Cowboy Bebop. What a great show.
What a fantastic show. The best show that this guy isn't watching.
Let me ask you this.
I think I asked you this already, but I don't really remember. Are the last two Godzilla movies, the American ones, are those part of the 30 Days of Godzilla?
Not the 90s one, because we did watch it like last year or two. God, was it 2 years ago? Uh-huh. For Rift Tracks.
For Rift Tracks, yeah.
And it was just so bad. I don't feel like I need to rewatch it again.
Okay, but we watched Gareth Edwards' Godzilla last year, so we don't have to watch that again.
No, I'm going to watch that one again.
That's time saved for you to get to Cowboy Bebop faster.
Was that only... No, that was 2 years ago as well, I believe.
Okay.
That was 2014.
Yeah, they were running off the hype of the other movie,
it was boring as hell.
It was boring as hell.
But I think watching the 15 minutes of actual monster action on YouTube counts as watching the movie. I think it's okay.
I like where your head's at, however.
Oh, gosh.
However, you kind of got to sit through that first half hour of Bryan Cranston so you can reflect on how useless his part was almost completely.
It's a different movie.
Yeah. It's like two different movies, yeah.
I guess they just wanted to add his name to it.
Yeah.
Look, we got Heisenberg. Heisenberg's in it.
I mean, I think...
So hot right now.
I think I get it. I think they were trying to make some, like, unique choices, almost a little risky.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's one of those things, and I know I've said this before, it's like, this is Godzilla's 30th film? Mm-hmm. People know what Godzilla's about. If they're here, it's because they want to see him smash crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to see his flame breath blow up stuff. They don't want the human drama of how a guy lost his wife and his kid and him are estranged and for, 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours of human drama.
Yep.
If you added up every movie from the 50s, I don't think they have 2 hours of combined human drama. I'm exaggerating, of course, but you get my point.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Well, here's the thing. I think Godzilla is one of those things where, like Superman, let's say, let's compare it to Superman. Everyone knows what Superman's origin is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Superman is,
pretty
much. You're right. Everyone knows who Godzilla is. I don't think everyone knows what his origin is, though.
No, and I get that.
I think if you were to ask the casual fan, they would be like, I don't know. He's a dinosaur that comes up out of the water.
But honestly,
was that dinosaur running around New York?
Most of that exposition had nothing to do with Godzilla. Nothing. It was all those stupid Mudos and him losing his wife. It was to try to draw you into the characters and make you care about the characters. But, you know, the friggin' Quicksilver, I can't think of his name. Quicksilver made such weird, nonsensical choices as a human being in that film. You just don't care. Like, this guy's a dope. Yeah. He needs to die. He needs to get squashed by Godzilla so we can get on with some better stuff.
But without the Bryan Cranston part, you would be stuck focusing on not much monsters.
But you didn't care about him anyway. That was my point.
It would just be monsters and one soldier who did things that you don't do in the army.
I know.
I'm just going to join your unit.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of stuff. Honestly, in wartime, that does happen. But because when you're separated, you got to do something. You're right. They're not going to leave you out on your own.
Ever stop and think,
well, you're not in our unit, soldier. Get lost. You know, they're not going
to that guy did not want to go back to his family.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Because it was like, I mean, as soon as you got to, you know, I think there was a point in the movie where he joins the bomb unit, right?
Yeah,
on the train. Yeah. Like from there, that was back in the States, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That wasn't in Hawaii. He wasn't.
That was like LA, I think, and they were going up to San Francisco.
Was it in LA? I thought it was somewhere else. Either way, he could have just taken a car, but like, yeah, I got to go. My family is waiting for me. I got to go make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm just going to go join this bomb unit.
Well, here. Technically, he can't just do that, but.
He can't just what? He can't just hitch a ride.
He can't
somewhere?
Just leave and go to his family. He's a soldier. He can't just do that. But.
It didn't seem like they needed him for anything. Well, it just seemed like he voluntarily joined stuff.
That's the gray area. He was totally separated from his unit. I mean, like,
and would still rather drive a boat with a bomb on it out into the ocean than go home. Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Just a lot of it didn't make sense. And that was the thing. Like, you know, Bryan Cranston's part was to basically designed to tie you to Quicksilver, and it just didn't work. Like, I just didn't care about him at all. Like, didn't care at all.
I don't know. I don't remember a part where. Like some higher military official was like, no, we need you to stay here.
And I also.
Was there one?
And I.
Because I've only seen that movie once, and like that's enough for me.
I got to watch it again, but.
You don't have to watch it again.
And it annoys me when people, like, they have, like, Mothra taped to a friggin' terrarium in Japan, and people are like, oh my God, it's a Mothra reference. It's Mothra taped, written on tape. You could do that at home. Here, let me show you. Why are you excited about a Mothra reference when it's written on masking tape on a friggin'. Glass tank. It was just
because
ridiculous.
Because a hobby in Japan is collecting things like moths and beetles.
No, I get
that. And that was a tank probably for moths.
No, I'm talking about fans externally going, oh my God, it's a Mothra reference. So? So what? Again, 30th Godzilla film. Mothra's been in probably like six of them.
Yeah, but
seven
this
of
isn't
them,
part of
at
continuity,
least.
Is it?
No. It's just odd.
Right, so for all they know, Mothra has not appeared yet.
Yeah, Mothra wasn't an experiment anyway, wasn't? Didn't he just live on an island or something?
She was a guardian spirit of the earth, basically, originally.
Well, not anymore. Now she was in a terrarium in a highly radioactive place.
In the original Mothra, I believe she was sort of the spirit guardian of that island. And when they stole the little girls, the little tiny, now I'm talking like, you know, 7-inch tall women. That's why I say little girls. They were called little beauties, I think, originally in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And when they stole them because they wanted to use them basically as like a sideshow, like, hey, come see our little women. Mothra's like, no. And she effed up Japan. She effed up Tokyo to get them back.
Right.
And then, of course, Godzilla versus Mothra is sort of similar, but then Mothra ends up fighting Godzilla because Godzilla is this just engine of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, there's various mutations, which you guys will get to see Mothra next month for Riff Tracks Live.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that one, actually.
Yeah.
That's the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
She's big in that movie, too. Like, way bigger than any of the Godzilla movies. Yeah. It's cool.
All right.
I'm talking about crap. I love.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, I like Godzilla. I don't like it as much as you do. Yeah. I don't think I love it as much as you do.
No Godzilla
like
in that movie, though. Mothra is just Mothra.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole universe...
Yeah.
I guess.
The Toho Monster Universe.
There's a bunch of monsters, yeah.
Yeah, in the old movies, they're very loosely connected. Like, sometimes they don't seem connected at all, and other times they're loosely connected. But they're not, any of them aren't direct sequels. It's just sort of assumed that world exists. You know what I mean? Where there's giant monsters.
Uh-huh.
You know, they even make a joke, well, in GMK, they made a joke, like, the guy's like, when Godzilla shows up, and they track his movements, and he's like beelining to Tokyo. And the one, I think, of the prime minister or something, he's like, why is it always us? Why do they always come to... I'm like, yeah, no kidding. At least he made the
Tokyo
joke.
Tokyo Tower is such a...
Yeah. They don't always go to Tokyo Tower, though.
Well, it always ends up. They always go to Tokyo. But it almost always ends up belly up.
Well, I was going to say, if it's seen in a movie, yes, it almost always ends up belly up. Or Mothra spins a cocoon on it. It's either one of those two things.
Like, I would just fuck up
Or Tokyo the Capitol. Tower. I think she actually cocooned on the Capitol building once.
All over the Capitol?
Yeah, just
cocooned everywhere?
Cocooned, yeah. Cocooned all over the place. Turned into her full-blown moth form. Anyway, we're ranting about freaking Godzilla movies. Let's take a break.
The only point that I was trying to make was that you don't have to watch the last two. Well, not the last two. You don't have to watch the two American ones.
Final Wars, I have a love-hate relationship
with. I mean the American ones. You don't have to watch the two American ones, and you can get
I'm not watching the 90s ones.
Okay. Or the Gareth Edwards one, and you can get to Cowboy Bebop faster.
So much faster.
I think that's solid. That's a solid plan, Frank.
I think so.
How can I call it the 30 Days of Godzilla?
What's that?
How can I call it?
I don't know. Watch one of the ones you've already seen again.
It's been more than 30 days anyway. So
Well, I never said it was sequential. Okay, that's just not doable all the time. So
watch GMK.
GMK.
Oh, you know what?
GMK is good. That's my number two favorite.
Did you watch? Is one of them Godzilla versus King Kong?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
I own the American and the Japanese version.
Do the other King Kong?
Oh no, God no!
The kid. What is it?
The freaking Peter Jackson one?
No. The King Kong where he fights Mecha Kong.
Oh, Godzilla Escapes.
Godzilla.
That's an excellent idea.
King Kong.
I like where your head's at. That's what I'm going to do. We're going to replace Gareth Edwards' Godzilla with
And then Godzilla take a day, King Kong and then on the last day, just watch Zone Fighter the whole time.
Oh, I'll watch all his episodes in Zone Fighter? Yeah. I do own those. That's true. I didn't even think of throwing those in there.
I mean,
I like it. They're all in Japanese, though, so I can't understand what anybody's saying.
That's not the point. The point is that you watch them.
Okay.
In an effort to get to Cowboy Bebop and Creed faster.
Okay.
Because I want you to cry where I cry.
What about Utna and Formula 51?
They can wait. They've been waiting already. Yeah, what's a little more?
True, yeah. But I got a Cowboy Bebop first.
I'm so scared that he's going to show up to gaming on Saturday and be like,
I didn't like it. I got the two episodes, and I didn't like it. I couldn't watch anymore. When if I... No, okay.
Yeah. Hey, man, how was Bebop? Two and a half episodes, and I was done. There's too much space and cowboying, and I don't like it.
And bebopping around.
Just bebopping around.
That guy just never changes his suit. I can't get...
Yeah, that never. Han Solo hasn't changed his clothes in years.
None of them do.
It's like, Han, take off that white shirt for crying out loud. Jeez. He's got like a whole drawer full of white shirts.
He doesn't have any drawers in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, they do. They're right under his bed. Haven't you ever seen the captain's bed?
Nope.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to. Talk stuff. Oh. We're gonna actually talk about games.
Great, we're doing well as a show.
Board games, board games, RPG games, and we're gonna talk about games and games that we like that we can't get other people to play.
We should also talk about games and gaming and board games.
Join us, and then other games, and then how we're trying to take a class.
One of which is a Godzilla game.
What? A Godzilla esque?
Yeah.
Tokyo.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Arcane?
No.
Creature
of the Day.
Oh, I have that. Back.
Wow.
Yeah, what? I know. If you don't know what that is,
which just occurred.
If you do know what that is, awesome. If you don't know what that is sort of my own. I don't know what that was. Evil Dead 2. It's from Evil Dead 2. And the reason I brought that up in relation to our conversation about board games and RPG games is because a Kickstarter just launched last week for Evil Dead 2, the board game. So look it up on Kickstarter. They got some really awesome stuff, and they've already hit every stretch goal.
Did you say they hit it within like a week or within a few days?
Oh, a few days. Yeah, a couple days. The funny thing is, when it launched, I was at the day job. And by the time I got home, they had already met their goal. But they did have like an early bird special still available, which I immediately purchased. And it turns out that was the way to go because I get a lot of extra stuff. Well, you can still purchase that, but it's cost more now. So
gotcha.
As a part of the Kickstarter. But yeah, it looks really cool. Evil Dead 2 board game. And I guess, you know, when you watch the little video, I mean, it looks cool. You never know how the game's going to work, though. But as a pure collector thing, it looks like it's just going to be awesome anyway, because I guess the deluxe edition, the box looks like the book. So it's like a giant,
like the giant face. Necronomicon,
yeah, like the giant face, the Raimi version of the Necronomicon. And like it comes with a bunch of extra figures. Apparently they're all painted. Like it's really cool. You get like variations of each character instead of just the player. You know, like the regular game, you get like every character from Evil Dead 2. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the deluxe edition, you get Combat Ash and like Gooseneck Henrietta, which, you know, when she comes out of the basement, she's got a long neck.
Yeah.
But then if, I guess one of their stretch goals is, I think if you get the deluxe edition, you get like Deadite versions of all the characters too. So I'm going to have three versions of Ash. I'm going to have Combat Ash, regular Ash, and Deadite Ash.
Wow.
I'm like a little excited. Now, granted, they're probably only, you know, 3/4 inch tall, but I'm still excited. It looks cool.
That's nice when the parts all come painted like that. I know when I looked at Super Dungeon.
Yeah.
It was $100 and still, you know, and I've heard it's a great game, but then
it ended up like buying a cool expansions game,
and they're $100 each and still unpainted characters.
And they're beautiful figures. I remember looking at it at WonderCon like years ago, but I was just like, I'm tired of painting Warhammer fantasy miniatures that I used to paint for years.
Yeah.
I don't want another game where I have to like rank and file, paint rank and file monsters.
And I was never so good at it. Like, you know, and I...
You mean like me? You could say it.
Yeah. And also like Paul, too. You know,
Paul's good.
Who's in there putting, you know...
Shading.
Pupils on his eyeballs and stuff. And it's like, can't do that.
If that doesn't make sense, imagine trying to paint a human model figure 1 inch tall. Now think about how small those eyeballs are and putting pupils on those eyeballs. Yeah. Now my setup at home, back then when we used to play, and just Frank and I go way back, by the way. And that was the early 90s. Yeah. I didn't wear glasses, and I didn't need them to paint pupils on eyeballs. Now I have like my glasses, reading glasses, which are 2.5 magnification, and then I have the big light on an arm, just like our microphones, with the magnifying glass and a light around that, and that's how I now paint. Like, what happened to me?
We should say also back then that you looked like Ryan Gosling.
True,
and then I look like
Shrek.
What happened
with a beard? But I still have my hair. A lot of guys my age don't have a whole lot of hair left.
Oh, that's a nice thing to hold on to.
Yeah. Frank also has his hair. Yeah, that's right. We both have our hair. High five.
Woo! I have all my hair. You don't see me freaking out about it.
You're young.
But you're like, what, 18, 19, something like that?
You're a child there, 31-year-old.
And that's what I'm going to stay at, 31.
Forever.
Forever. I've made that decision to stay at 31 forever.
Nice. So board games and RPG games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones out there, but more importantly, and this is what we're going to talk about, there's a lot of good ones out there that, for whatever reason, never caught on, or we couldn't get our friends to play, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? So who wants to start that off?
Oh, yeah. Well, going into Kickstarter and games that no one will play, I got one off called Pirate Dice, not the Pirates of the Caribbean one where you shake up the cup and everyone's got a bluffing game. Liar's Dice, yeah. This one, you've actually got dice in the ship. Is a die, a D6, and you've played it with me.
Yeah, I have. I played it a few times with you.
You're the only one.
I love that game. That game's a good game. It's very simple.
I played it. I think I played against you.
Oh, did you?
That day, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think you kicked my butt.
Oh, so he'll play with other people, but not.
Yeah,
no. No, it's just.
It's you, Frank. It's not the game.
I think we were playing the winners, and he just kicked my butt, so it was your turn again, and then we didn't play.
Oh, no, I take it back. Ray played it, too.
Did he?
Cool. Yeah.
Our friend of ours, named Ray.
Another in our gaming group.
Yeah.
Ray.
Just one of those games you order it and it's like, oh, this is going to be so cool. It's going to be so cool. Come on, man. You want to play? Anyone?
Ah, man. You know what?
You know what?
I just thought we would play Munchkin.
And I got to go to Panda Express and eat some really crappy Asian food right now.
You know, what's the name of the gaming group on...
Roughage, yeah.
What's the name of the gaming group? I keep forgetting.
We'll talk about a game and then let me look it up because I always forget because it's a very long...
You came up with the title.
I did. That doesn't mean I know it by heart.
So no one else plays
Gaming League of Stupendous Exacerbation.
That's us.
That's us. And there will be a t-shirt on the website in the coming weeks. What? Oh, by the way, speaking of t-shirts, there is one new shirt up, like we had talked about before, of course. And we should have more up, like, anytime, of course. Sometimes, you know, we kind of have to tweak and we got to get them vectored and there's all little considerations to do. So we wanted to have more up by now, but we do have one up for sure. And it's a really cool retro one. And of course, all the designs have been reworked. And then, you know, we're going to have more soon.
Little tings.
Including one Frank designed. So
what? Frank is a writer and a designer? The guy's a double threat. What else do you do?
Let me just give you a hint.
Oh, God.
Crumb. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say.
I cannot wait for that shirt.
It's simple. It's not anything crazy, but it works.
Cook extraordinaire, designer, writer. The man's a triple threat.
Yeah, let me take a moment to talk about Frank and cooking. I've realized as days go by and as I eat barbecued anything from anywhere, that Frank has ruined me for barbecue everywhere.
Frank is the standard for barbecue.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I go to Famous Dave's and I'm like, this is poultry,
you know what?
Peasant food.
I went to Famous Dave's. It's not bad food, but going to Famous Dave's for lunch one time and I was eating and I was just like, I'm a garbage person, and this is what I deserve.
Yeah. That's how good Frank's barbecue is.
I don't know. Yeah. I'll go places like that, too, and eat. I like Famous Dave's enough when I want, like, brisket or something, because it just takes so long to make.
That is true.
You know, eight hours.
That place near me is actually good.
Oh, John Mull's,
Yeah, John Mull's or Roadkill Cafe, which was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
And I happen to live very close to it, which is awesome.
You're like a... You're walking distance.
Yeah, I am walking distance. Like
you're one block away from the place.
But that is the only place that I've had that has come close to Frank.
Yeah, they have good stuff there.
Yeah.
Of course, that guy's been doing that forever.
Since the early 80's, I think.
Yeah. Because that's the same place.
In that location,
I think they still process deers for a hunter.
Yep. Yeah, that's where Mark goes, actually. Because another guy in our gaming group, he hunts. And, he takes his deers there to get processed. Yeah,
why is everyone so interesting? You know what I do?
Swim with your nieces and
nephews. Well, that's not.
That's cool.
That's okay. That's cool. Yeah, but that's not like something to be known for. Like, oh, hey, look, it's Luis, the guy who swims with his nieces and nephews.
Your probation officer says you're a really cool guy.
He has. He called each one of us, asked us a bunch of questions.
to get to know me better?
That's right. Yeah, that's what I thought anyway.
Sure. I was just going to say I fart around and do nothing.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's
back to
my special talent.
Back to games. We're kind of getting on barbecue for some reason.
Anyway.
Suffice to say, Frank's an awesome cook. Okay.
Thank you.
So no one will play Pirate Dice with you. Nobody else.
It's a good game.
It is a great game.
But it never quite comes up.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Didn't even come up yesterday, now that I think about it.
No, there wasn't that many of us.
There was four of us. That game
is meant for four.
Is meant for four people.
Right. Up to four,
yeah.
It would be a little crowded, but it would also be good because you're not just attacking each other.
Sure. I mean, that's one of those games. It's a great game. I enjoy it very much, but it's like when you buy a game with an interesting concept and you're just like, I can't wait for me and my friends to play. It just never comes up.
They don't quite get the concept. Yeah, it's like you're not tied into the theme or whatever as much or the idea of it somehow.
Yeah.
I was glad we got to play Fury of Dracula.
Yeah.
Because I kept looking after I bought it. I was like, oh, this is going to be great when we play. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know. I never know if we'll ever play.
It was a little twisted on the rules there.
Yeah. I do want to play that at least a few more times because it seems like the rules were pretty steep. Like, it's Games Workshop, which we've mentioned before. They can overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
But I know generally that worked. And it's just, like I said, my big concern was like, it seemed like Dracula was a wimp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that he's got a lot of weaknesses, but you think when he catches a hunter one-on-one, he should be able to just trash the dude. Because the whole point of the game is you're trying to consolidate your efforts against Dracula. But
yeah,
I attacked Mina, and she was already infected, and she kicked my butt.
And then I finished you.
Yeah, so we do got to kind of get into that and figure it out, because
something must have been missing, because it was way too easy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, she trounced me.
By the way, Frank and I own a lot of the same games, and a lot of those games have gone unplayed, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because you think with double the games, somebody at some point would be like, hey, we should play this.
Yeah, we've never played Betrayal at House on Haunted Hill. We've never played...
Well, I noticed... Oh, we never did play Betrayal, did we?
No, we didn't.
We did not play that.
I have Mice and Mystics and the expansions, and I have not played it.
And I know, oh wow, and I know like Cards Against Humanity comes up fairly often because it's easy to get into. But I also notice with that game, it's like you can play that one too much.
Yeah,
You really should take like a year off between playings because otherwise, here's the answer.
Or at least get all the expansions.
Yeah, that's why they've got, 10 expansions or something.
Or at least play with people who have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'll get out of here. He's just mad because we tied for the win. That's why. We tied.
Yeah, every time.
Last time we played, we tied.
Every time we got together to play, I think I won a majority of the time.
Yeah.
And then we got together
Frank
this time.
Wins a lot, too.
Yeah, I think I've played once with Frank, and
you
I didn't win that one either.
You got to play to your audience, man. Yeah.
No!
Not just what's funny. Yes!
Yeah, that was a mistake he made.
That is ridiculous.
He was set on the whole, this is funny, and you should appreciate it for being funny.
It should be humorous. It's what's funniest, it's what's most shocking, and this card has unicorns on it, and I like unicorns, so I'm going to pick this card, despite the fact that it's not funny.
And that tactic works
a lot. It does work.
Disgusting.
A lot of people.
Well, that's the thing about Cards Against Humanity. You're really playing for moments. You're not. If you expect every hand to be funny, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not. But
occasionally you get that combination.
But when
like,
I play,
holy crap, that's ridiculous.
But most of the time, I play fantastic cards, and what happens? It's wasted on you people.
Yeah.
Wasted. Not Frank. Not you, Frank.
I just want to take a moment to express how much I appreciate your humility.
Oh my God. I'm like the funniest dude there. I was going to curse just now because that's how angry I am.
Jeez. What are some other games? What's that? Like, I know I got Thunderbirds from Frank. That's what we were talking about. Early birthday present.
Which is fun. Yeah.
And it is a variation of Pandemic. And I do want to play more. And
we've never beaten Pandemic.
Yeah. And and when we played Thunderbirds, we were kind of going through the rules, so we were kind of making a lot of, kind of backtracking a lot just to make sure we had the rules down. So I do want to play like a full game, and actually play on a tougher level because it seemed like we just trounced the crap out of the poor hood.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like it was a well built game though, but it did seem almost like a simplified version of Pandemic.
Yeah,
but yeah, we did trounce it, and
maybe it's a lot easier than Pandemic because Pandemic it does a lot to. To just set you back.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Thunderbirds is designed for younger players too,
right?
You know, and like I said, we did backtrack a lot to just make sure the rules work too. So I mean, if we weren't doing that, I mean, it would have been harder. So
ages 6 to 12, and there we are.
Yeah,
men past 30.
That's right.
Playing
it. It's
playing
a good game. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
that's
matter.
Right.
It's a good game.
If the game works, it does. Well, look at Railroad.
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple game. It's meant for just about anybody above the age of 4, but it's a freaking relatively deep game, too. I mean, you got to kind of think about what you're doing.
Yeah, but we quit playing that because Louise kept choking on the little trains.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to put them in your mouth.
Not candy.
Well, quit giving them orange. He thinks they're Cheetos. No longer, you can't be orange
Yay,
anymore.
Yay, Cheetos!
You got to be green. That way you think they're vegetables and you won't touch
Ew.
Them.
Ew. Brussels sprouts.
An RPG, and I know Frank agrees with this, a really good RPG that we should really take up someday. And apparently a group in New Zealand or Australia has sort of adopted it and actually reworked the rules a little bit to try to clean up because there's not much to clean up there.
Right.
Even though I guess TSR actually owns the rights. Because I think TSR was scared, and rightly so. And this is a very simple but very tight RPG called Dragon Quest, or it used to be called Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
And third edition, I think, is what we had.
Third edition is what we had. I know Paul, who's an old gamer, was with us back in the day of gaming. He bought the second edition to find out that there was like no real difference. The difference was when TSR bought it, because they were under so much heat for the whole... You know, the religious side of it, because it dealt a lot with the occult, like witchcraft, magic. It was a lot deeper, and it talked about demons deities and stuff like that. So TSR kind of got rid of all that because, you know, they got sued a few times, I guess. And
same
thing with the old
Quest,
deities and demigods.
For people who don't know, is a tabletop RPG.
Yes, that's
true. Akin to something like Dungeons & Dragons.
And there is a board game called Dragon Quest. It's not that either.
Yeah, and it's also not the video game series. Yeah. There is an important distinction there. The game, TSR, let the trademark, I guess, lapse. So they no longer have the trademark for the name, but they still own the system. which is a shame. But like I said, some group in Australia or New Zealand, I don't remember, sort of took that. And I guess there's a relatively big following there. Like, they play it actively. You can get on the website, and there's a bunch of information.
There's a lot of
and
podcasts.
I think I downloaded their rules, too, about it. To like their revamped rules. I'm pretty sure I did. I would have. If they were on PDF, I did, you know, because they can't sell it.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it was good.
There's a lot of podcasts from Australia and New Zealand for covering, you know, when they games, play D&D games.
Yeah.
Some of them are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Tabletop RPGs, because going outside's overrated.
That's right.
I don't care how HD it is out there. I'm not going out there.
You don't want to go out there, man. You're going to be a host organism for something. Something's going to try and eat you. Something's going to make you sick. You don't want that. Small dogs attack you.
Yeah. In a mythical land, I am a knight. Outside, I am just an accountant.
Nice.
With the rest of the mouth breathers.
Although now, outside, I'm a Pokemon trainer.
Thank you,
Pokemon. Yeah, speaking of games not everyone plays, me.
Yeah. Whatever, you suck.
It kind of scares me, honestly. I mean, I see you guys, and I see people like are obsessed with that, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go there.
Uh-huh.
No, thank you.
Uh-huh.
That looks like fun. I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah. I am anti-fun.
Look, a friend that we work with was driving home, and they happened to be next to me. And guess what they were doing?
What?
At the light and taking off from the light.
Uh-huh.
On their phone with Pokemon Go.
And that's
I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to go there.
That's smart, because then you don't have to walk. You just drive around.
It's safe.
Oh, man.
So safe.
I'm going to do that when I get home today.
I've only done it on the passenger, but
A passenger's a little different.
Yeah. But,
this,
you know, some of the
person was
are...
driving, and I was just like, what the hell, man?
Honestly, I don't think I'd find much attraction to it, except for I'm down at the, you know, I work down at the college, and there are so many spots and so many Pokemon. I'm like, oh, this seems like a stupid game, you know, because I loaded it at home. There's nothing around there. I can see one thing in the distance. I'm like, I don't get the point of this, you know. I mean, you walk around. There's nothing in my neighborhood. I didn't think about it. And then I went to work, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Okay, I got to go around the student union. All right, and then I'm going to go over to FDH. And then I gotta,
well, don't misunderstand. I understand the appeal, and I get it. And if it gets people out walking more, that's always a good thing. But I don't want to get obsessed about it. I'm not ragging on the game specifically. I don't want to be obsessed about
it. So then don't.
I'm not.
I don't do it while I drive.
No, I would hope not.
At least not during the day.
Yeah. I drive around at night when there's no traffic.
Yeah. That's when I catch Pokemon.
It has seemed to just flare up and just capture the public sort of. It's like its own zeitgeist, you know. It's like this,
and people spotted each other, you know, in the parking lot of Trader Joe's. It was, you know, there's two guys walking along, and they're kind of combing the parking lot, you know.
Yeah, but if you and I were playing, would we see the same Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
They're location based.
Wow.
So
it's a race. It's a fight.
Yeah.
Fight. Oh, that's crazy.
It's called a battle. Guys, thank you.
A Poke battle?
A Pokemon battle.
Yikes.
No. Oh my gosh.
I'm okay. Any other games? Any other games?
I said, I have Mice and Mystics, and we haven't played that.
Yeah.
I get games with the idea that, like, oh man, when I take this to the gaming group, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be great. And then
I'm going
to
be the coolest kid.
Yeah.
And then
I have Lords of Waterdeep that I really want to play.
Nice.
And we have I have not been able to play with anybody.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't remember you ever bringing it over.
Yeah.
I have not had a chance to bring it over. By the time I got it, because we usually take a break when we play tabletop RPGs.
We have a lot of fluctuation in the summers, I've noticed, which this summer seems to be the worst as usual. And what I mean by fluctuation, if you're wondering, like, why are these guys talking about a gaming group, is because summer vacation, people have a lot to do, so we usually end up missing more than one key member. So we end up playing more board games in the summer than the actual RPGs, because we can't be consistent. And that's what I mean.
Yeah. But so on those days, we don't play whatever game we're playing, which at this point is Shadowrun.
Shadowrun, yeah.
But we haven't been able to play because somebody's always been missing. We've had a lot of board game days,
Or two.
Yeah. But I haven't been able... Between then, though, I haven't been able to... I haven't had a chance to bring Lords of Waterdeep over.
Let me ask you this. If you brought Lords of Waterdeep to play, excited to play, would you have read the rules first?
No, it is still shrink-wrapped.
Yeah. May I make a suggestion? If you want to play a new game, words out of your mouth when you walk in the door might want to be, hey, I read the rules.
If you're going to tell me to read, you stop right there.
Okay.
Reading is for nerds. I will not do it.
That's why I brought the game to you.
You know what show you host, right?
That's why I bring it over to you, because you're one of those nerds that loves to read.
Yeah.
And you're one of those nerds that loves rules. You get super excited about rules and reading, so I bring them to you to rule and read, I guess.
That's because I need structure.
Mm-hmm.
I crave structure.
Yeah.
That's part of my thing.
Mm-hmm. That's why I bring it to you, to make you happy.
Oh,
and this is what you do to me? You throw it back in my face?
Oh, wow.
Like
wow.
An ungrateful child?
I never realized. This is like counseling. So much truth has come up.
I'm not sure I call it truth, but it is very counseling. Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me, why are you so ungrateful?
I got the ElfQuest game that I did the Kickstarter for. We haven't played that either.
Did you read ElfQuest? Did you read the rules?
I did, actually. I did. I need to reread them because it's been a while, since I got it, and I keep forgetting it. It's one of those like I put up on my bookshelf, and it's small. So when I said like, "What can I bring? I'll bring Thunderbirds or whatever," and then I forget that one because it's a little. So little.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? Anything else? Any other games?
Oh yeah, yeah. The
creature.
Bocce dice and that was another Kickstarter game. It was just that's the Bocce dice on the. It's almost like a mouse pad.
Yeah.
And Cube Quest. We played
Cube Quest. Yeah,
it sat.
Cube Quest is cool.
Yeah, it's a very simple game.
It's a physical game too.
Yeah. A little dexterity. You have to fun.
Flick stuff.
You have to have strong fingers.
Yeah.
Which I do not. Oh God.
Yeah.
The nail came off. Why?
And then Frank brought up in between breaks a classic game that you said nobody ever played, but it turns out me and my brother, who's in our gaming group, have played that actually years ago in the 80s.
The Creature That Ate Sheboygan.
That's it. The Creature That Ate Sheboygan. One of the classics. It's like a Godzilla smash up the city while the National Guard tries to kill you game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool. It
worked. And the police
really well.
Run out and get stomped.
Get stomped, yeah.
The poor police.
It was a cool little game.
The poor police.
And
they give you police units, and you can send guys out there, but you're really kind of, I don't know, they're not quite strong enough to have done anything. I remember every time I used them, it was like, yep. Wasn't enough to stop that. You know, I mean, not even redirect them.
Do they get a bonus?
Yeah.
I know what you're wondering. Am I proud of myself? And I am.
If you're wondering what happened, don't worry about it. Because you won't know.
Topical!
That it was. Yeah, Creature Ate Sheboygan was good stuff.
You know what RPG we never played? And I remember buying the book and the module and everything. And it was based off Palladium, which we had played.
Back in the day.
Yeah, we weren't playing. I don't think we were playing Rifts. But we were playing something where we had powered armor and stuff like that. The Glitter Boys. I remember those guys.
So it must have been Rifts. I think that was exclusive to Rifts.
Was it?
Or did we play Robotech?
That was in Paul's first apartment. No, we never played Robotech.
Yeah, I own
that was the one I bought.
Oh yeah, I own the books for that too. Yeah. Actually, I still own them.
Never played it. Yeah,
I still own a lot of the Palladium books. Here, if you're curious about RPGs and you've probably played a few, Palladium's bar none probably had the most amazing ideas and concepts and artwork of any role playing group. Mostly because the guy that designed most of the Palladium games, which is Kevin Ciambotta. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
He was also an amazing artist, and I guess he knew a lot of really good artists, too, because his artwork tended to be, like, really good compared to a lot of the role-playing games. And I'm not talking about recent stuff like D&D where, like, the artwork is beautiful. I'm talking, like, back in the 80s when some of that artwork was spotty at best.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Rift stuff or the Palladium stuff was always beautiful.
Yeah.
But
I have
the mechanics and the system, not so much.
Yeah, I had a superhero...
They worked.
Book, the Palladium book.
Oh, Heroes Unlimited?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I still have a lot of Palladium books because I just love the artwork, like especially the Rift stuff. Just like the concepts behind it, just beautiful and well thought out. And just, I mean, there probably is novels out there, but I'm surprised it's a property that hasn't done more as far as like fantasy science fiction because some of it's just really cool.
It was big. Do they still have anything they put out?
I honestly don't know. I probably should know that, but I did buy the Mechanoid Invasion... book that he put together, the compendium that he put together based on his original three games, which was the Mechanoid Invasion, The Journey, and Homeworld, which was just cool stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I don't know if he's got to still be doing Rift stuff, right? You would think.
It was so big then, but I can't recall the last time I went in somewhere and saw it.
Yeah, I don't know. Any other stuff out there?
Is it just stuff I own or stuff?
No. Any games like you really wanted to play or really you were kind of jazzed about and for whatever reason didn't work out, whether it was nobody wanted to play or maybe the system just didn't catch your fancy the way you
Fight
hoped.
Fight in the Skies became remade as like Dawn Patrol or something like that for Avalon Hill.
Yeah.
And they actually had huge tournaments.
Yeah.
Not here in Vegas, but other places.
Yeah.
Nobody here plays that.
That's
game.
A shame.
I've still got that.
What is that?
Yeah, I remember
it's
that.
World War One airplane combat, and they had a really neat system of
what? Why haven't we played?
Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't know you had this.
Yes, it's not even complicated rules. You wouldn't have to read much.
What?
I know, it's amazing.
Zero reading too? Oh my god, what a dream game! Why aren't we playing?
Yeah, no kidding.
But it had a neat system of tailing the other guy. So of course, you know, World War One planes, you're trying to shoot forward so you get behind the guy.
Yeah,
and the closer you were, the easier it was for him to dodge you, but it was easier to hit him.
Right.
So you had this mechanic of, you know, do you want to stay farther back, not do as much damage? But you
because the bullets would spread. And all
and so you had cards. One person, you know, the person being chased would pick what he was going to do face down.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you were farther back, you got to pick, say, 10 cards out of your hand of, like, I think there's 20 different maneuvers.
Yeah.
You know, Immelmann's loops, you know, barrel rolls, falling leaf, and so you could pick all these different things. Like, well, I think he's going to do one of these 10 things. But if you got closer where you were actually doing decent damage regularly, you might only get 3 or 4 cards.
Yeah.
And so it became a lot easier for him to pick one out of 20 or whatever. And it was kind of a neat system. And it had a lot of accurate, kind of like the Starfleet battles chits, but bigger. They were 1-inch square with the Albatross and the Camels, the Sopwith Camels.
Yeah.
Really nice, you know, silhouettes.
We should dust that off and give it a whirl. Did they make models for that, or was that a different game?
That was the one that kind of took over from that. Fighting this guy's got superseded by another version. I think it was Dawn Patrol, or it might have been Air War or something like that.
I will talk about one game briefly that has not endeared itself to me. As a matter of fact, the more we played it, the more annoyed I got with it, which was D&D 5th
Starfleet
Edition.
Battles?
No, D&D 5th Edition. Mm-mm. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Don't like it.
I don't like
explain
it.
To people why
I was
like
never.
It.
I was never a huge fan of honestly like D&D 3rd. But the nice thing about 3rd edition or 3.5, which became Pathfinder, is it was a very good balance of easy to jump into and some complexity that if you were more, I guess, hardcore, you played forever like us, where you can kind of get into it and kind of tweak stuff and stuff. Yeah, D&D 5 does not have that at all.
Mm-hmm.
The funny story with that is Frank and I, when we were first making characters, because that was the last game we played before Shadowrun, when we first started making characters, it took us about 2.5-3 hours to make characters. Now, if you've played D&D 5, you're probably like, why the hell would it take you that long? Well, here's why. Because it was so simple, we kept second-guessing ourselves and looking up rules and reading and stuff, because we're like, that doesn't make sense. It was that simple. And I felt that the mechanics of the game were also that simple. And that's why it kind of bummed me out. I understand where they're going. They're a company. They're trying to survive. They're trying to, as that industry wanes, you know, and they're probably, I guess, for lack of a better term, they're like the Walmart or McDonald's of role-playing games.
Hmm.
They're trying to appeal to as many people as possible because they're big. You know what I mean? Where other role-playing games exist because they're a small staff, they understand their niche, and they don't try to, like, go beyond that. Well, TSR or Wizards of the Coast, they're not a small. They're not small. So they have to appeal to the whitest, and I don't know. I just don't care for it, honestly.
It does seem to be working. They have D&D clubs.
They do. They absolutely do.
Even at the university. It's impressive.
But it is simple to get into. I can't deny that. And if it brings people into the game, I'm all for it. As far as me playing it, and we talked about, like, maybe I would rather go back to, if we're going to stick to simple fantasy, I would rather go back to 3.5 or Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of 3.5 anyway. But
I haven't actually played Pathfinder.
It's the same. Yeah. It's 3.5.
I like 3.5.
I did too. As far as like that bridge between simple and complex. But
what did you think of 5, Frank?
It is clearly meant for people who want to do the
jump in
the acting out part of role playing,
which you did not do.
Which I did amazingly.
Well, the one thing I did like about it was
that was a game where I was GM.
There were some improvements to the magic system, which were actually really well done. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that was the game that I was a GM in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I completely managed to do that, which I wanted to do.
Very little to no role play.
You were a good GM, actually. But we failed as players because we're like, kill it. Kill it. He asked us a question. Stab him.
That was your brother, by the way.
That was my brother who... A little background. Don Lorenko, my whole life, has always played lawful, good, upstanding. He's that guy. Yeah. Lawful, good, upstanding characters. Last few years, really branching out. He plays flat-out evil characters.
Chaotic, despicable
characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and we were getting questioned by some guards, and we were in disguise.
These weren't hard questions, yeah, by the way.
And these guards were kind of morons, right?
Yeah.
And we were in an opportunity to basically do some actual role-playing, right?
Yeah.
And what does my brother do? Stabs him right in the throat.
He's just quiet and stabs again.
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
Basically.
Dead.
Here's the thing. That particular session, I was like, we haven't role played a lot. I kind of want to role play a little bit and see how this goes.
Yeah.
Did not go well.
We saved our role cloaks.
Because you guys made all these preparations. Yeah,
we did.
At one point.
We have to infiltrate the dungeon.
So
yeah.
We were doing the adventure that came out of the starter box.
Yeah.
That's the one that we were doing. And there's a band of thieves.
Yeah.
And they all use red cloaks. Yeah. So you guys at one point.
But we got a lot of mileage out of those red cloaks for other reasons other than disguise. Yeah,
other than wearing them.
Yeah. Killed a lot of orcs and goblins with those red cloaks once
you didn't,
soaked them in oil and burned them.
You didn't kill. I don't think you killed that many.
Well, we still got. But we stopped them from killing us.
Yeah, that's true. So you guys were outside of a room and you heard guards and you were like, I'm going to. Oh, let's put on these red cloaks and try to trick them into thinking that we're one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all this preparation. That, yeah, we're all wearing our red cloaks. All right, go into the room. And then one of the guys who's sitting there asks you.
Very calmly, too. Yeah, in any kind of aggressive.
He asked two questions.
Yeah.
And again, I was keeping it simple because I wanted to see how the role playing would go. So you could have said anything. You could have said 5 minutes ago and they'd have been like, all right.
Yeah.
Because one of the questions was.
How long you been?
Who are you guys? Oh, we're new.
We're guards.
Yeah,
guards.
We're new recruits.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, yeah, we're new. We're
I think
new.
That's what
yeah,
we answered,
we're new.
Right?
Something yeah, like that. Like, we're new. And I'm like, oh, this is going good. Okay. I think the question was when did you join up or something like that? And it was meant to be like when'd you join up?
Because yeah, he was sitting in a chair. He was relaxed. He was kicked back. Yeah. No menace.
Well, those are things your brother was answering. He was the one who was at the front.
He was.
And he was like, oh yeah, we're new members.
Because he had the highest charisma of six or something.
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Yeah.
And then he asked, how long have you guys been members? And he just stares. He's quiet. And I'm like,
What's going on?
Are you gonna answer him? I stab him with my sword.
Yeah.
What?
In the throat.
What?
Roll for initiative.
Yeah.
I was so like upset. I remember.
That was great.
I was like, why would you do that? He'd ask you a simple question. Yeah. He hasn't done it. They're all hanging out, playing cards or dice or whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
Drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Being dummies.
Well, here's an anecdote about you as GM. When we first started playing, it was the first time you had GM'd with us.
Yeah.
And
which, by the way, super scary.
I
don't know if I told you guys that.
This is kudos for you. I felt when we first started playing, I'm like, he's soft, he's weak. We can take him. We as players can just munchkin this and push our way around, right? So we got bold, and we got really bold. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's go for it. And you wiped us out, killed us all. And I'm like, all right.
I did not come to play no games.
There was that competitive part of me was like, this motherfucker. Then I was like, the more objective side of it was like, he's going to be a good GM. He's good. He's all right. He's not going to flinch in the face of an aggressive, very experienced player. And that's good.
Oh, no. You're going to be dumb. You're going
to
die.
He was not afraid to kill us. And I was like, ever since then, I'm like, this is good. He can GM for me anytime.
You got so mad about those red cloaks and that guard thing. I was sure we were going to come back and find out, oh no, those were the undercover guards for whatever town we were currently using as base or something.
You TPK'd us. Sounds good.
Yeah.
We deserved it because I was
that was
definitely,
just one time, Roy.
It was early on. It was only like the third game
session. Right, but it was just
session.
One time. I don't think it was. Right?
Because after that, we played a lot smarter because I'm like, he's not going to let us. He's not going to let us, you know, push him around as players.
Right.
You know, and that's good. So
it's like real life. You do something
so
stupid,
you
might get killed.
To what he is now.
Oh, yeah. So you
pushed him.
You
that.
Made him.
I made a monster.
That's right.
Made fun of his dice rolling skills.
Good job, Dr. Frankenstein.
This is years and years of that. But, no, not years and years, but how long have we been playing? How long have I been playing with you guys? Like 2 years?
It's been like a couple years now.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, once I got comfortable, we all just started kind of.
And by the way, our gaming group's been going for like, I think, 4.5 years now. 5 years.
Oh, at least, because it started over the
like 2010,
when I lived in the other house.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's consistently awesome. And that's
but
why
we can't say
that's
that.
Why we're putting up t-shirts.
Pulled pork for everyone.
That's right. Yeah.
We can't say though that it didn't really get great until I got there. Yeah, so that's okay. Fine. Well, I mean,
as far as you know, that is right.
We had some people come and go.
I'm just kidding.
Some more colorful than others. Some pretty much forgotten about, some more colorful than others in their goingness.
A lot of ins and outs.
People moved. I mean, that's the bummer.
Let's make the gaming group great again.
One of our friends who was a longtime guy, and I gamed with him for years too, not as long as you and I, but you know, he moved. He actually moved for a job, so he's not gaming with us, stuff like that. It kind of bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Bummer.
But yeah, he was there when I was there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The fanciest of barbarians.
Fancy barbarian. Yeah. Which on the t-shirt, he is the fancy barbarian, because we're all named by some kind of nickname, which I do want to work on some of those nicknames. I don't think they're all good yet. I wanted to change your nickname to something that implies that you don't like to read.
Oh, come on.
It all has to fit. Do you ever stop and think that
I have a problem? That the reason I don't read is because I'm illiterate?
Sexnexia.
And there you are making fun of me?
Yeah, okay.
Do you feel good about yourself right now?
I work with you. I know you can write, so you must be able to read.
I just copy what other people copy. Mm. What do the people do when they write something down? I just write the same thing. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to write. Cool.
That makes so much sense in your texting responses.
Yeah. I'm more of a parrot when it comes to reading and writing than actually reading and writing. But, you know, I hope you feel great about yourself making fun of someone who has a legitimate problem.
We make fun of everybody. That's whatever. The point.
No. Yeah, but, you know, now we're on air and I'm shaming you for it.
Yeah. And then, of course, my brother, when he GM'd with Champions, which I love that game, by the way, but, you know, we had his number as a GM. And not that he was weak. He wasn't a weak GM. It's just I don't think he ever had an answer for us, because that's a superpowered game. And if
you're a superhero game,
if you're not, and
can you read that?
That's one of the old school. That's one of the old school games. So
no, nice. I can't.
That's one of the old school games, so it's all very mechanics based.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mechanics aren't tied as a GM, it's a little harder to do anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we just had his number. And like, I think Erica actually mentioned to me Friday night about that. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, that was years of him just punishing me when he GM'd back when I was a kid and learned how to play. And that was me just learning from all those times to where when we played Champions, I just had his number as a GM. He had no answer for us.
And he did do
and
things
I was proud
to you.
Of that. Yeah.
It was funny. And it was only ridiculous dice rolling that saved us sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
But his stories were so wonderfully Bronze Age comic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just that when you get somebody, you want someone to... You know, you look at it and it's like, well, is this like, you know, modern Superman or, you know, the Christian Bale Batman? What are we playing here? And it was
Bronze Age comics,
just
70s,
late silver, early Bronze.
70s nonsense.
Yeah, 60s, 70s comics. It was awesome.
And it's good. It's good to play with someone who's excited about a particular thing and they're running it.
Well, he wants to, I think after Shadowrun, we're going to play that again. And he says, I'm going to get you this time.
he had a lot of good elements in the game.
Oh, he did.
That I thought were fun, like the local superheroes had like a theme and it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that he would do.
Yeah.
But he would tailor the bad guys to Adam
to
so
me,
bad. Oh, it was like, I built this guy for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, and I said, I built my guy to survive. Well, see, cause my guy, and that was sort of the conceit of my guy, was he's designed to sort of where you think he's the Hulk. Well, he's not. He actually doesn't hit nearly as hard as you'd think.
He just,
even though
like
he's called Hard Hitting Hank.
Yeah.
But he's built to take a lot of punishment, and that's the difference. And he's built to wear a villain down. He's not built to outpunch him.
To where
you're actually your character.
My character was.
You can punch harder than my character.
But I could not take as much punishment.
You could if you. Your character was built where it was almost all or nothing. Like you had to apply defense or you had to apply offense. So if you were in offensive mode and you got punched, you're done.
Yeah.
But if you're in defensive mode, you were tougher than me. You know what I mean? But that's how he was built. My character was built to be in the front. He's a tank. He's a classic tank. He's built to be in the front to take damage or avoid damage, but he's not built to actually dish out that much. He's just built to tie up the strongest opponent. That's what he was for. And it worked more often than not. Yeah. It worked. Mm-hmm. You guys would clean up the periphery, and then we could all focus on the guy I was fighting on, and then we'd take him out.
Yeah, once we got past the potted plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my greatest debut.
Oh, that was awesome. I think you fumbled twice, right? And tripped over stuff.
Just the one time.
Just the once? It was just that legendary of a tripping over a potted plant?
Little backstory. When we started the game, we didn't know each other. So we were given a scenario where we all just happened to be at a bank.
Yeah.
And my character was supposed to be this like super agile kung fu
master. Yeah, he was basically like, you were kind of like Williams from Enter the Dragon and like Iron Fist combined.
Basically, yeah. Who owned a restaurant.
Yep.
I put it was, Soul Food Chinese Fusion.
Yep.
Who went to the bank just to deposit some money that they had made, just some profits.
Yep.
And then I guess we were all there.
Yeah.
And there was a bank robbery. And when I leaped into action, I leaped into a potted plant and
tripped right over
it.
Plowed into it.
It was great. It was hilarious. It
doesn't matter that I got up and killed a guy in one punch. No,
those are like the evil, weird clown guys or whatever.
Doesn't matter that I stopped one guy in one attack. No. What I'm most known for is the fact that I tripped over a potted plant.
Well, you redeemed yourself in later games, so that's the important part.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't seem like you guys have appreciated me.
Not in our eyes, but to the public, yes, you've redeemed yourself. To the gaming, in that universe's gaming public, yes.
It's a good thing that's more like the 70s, because I'm sure it'd be all over YouTube.
Just like Sherlock, he says the game's afoot once, but it's like a catchphrase. Yeah. For you, you only tripped once, but... Oh, boy, did that stick.
He's a clumsy superhero.
Not so much Bruce Lee as, greatest American hero.
Yeah. Well, Don swears he's got our number, so when we come back to it, I guess he's going to... He apparently has our numbers.
YouTube videos.
Which, considering my character is literally a giant hunk of iron, I think he's going to hit us with some really powerful magnets. That's what I'm guessing.
Magnet man.
Yeah. But
Oh, no, Magneto.
You guys ready for a break? Because we've been talking for a long time, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back,
more stuff.
Join us.
Join us. One of us.
Yeah, that was weird. Welcome back.
Yes. Welcome back from breaks, we were just making weird noises.
Imitating Renfield and Ice Cream Bunny and some Santa Claus variation.
A Christmas Story, yeah.
Christmas Story.
And the limo driver from No Holds Barred.
That's right. We promise we'll keep this last segment short since that last one went on kind of a long time.
Sure.
But gaming anecdotes. We were just talking on the break about Munchkin and how...
Here we go.
When Luis first started the game, he was criticizing my demeanor, I guess.
Sure.
And I explained to him, when you sit at the table in Munchkin, it's not about the game on the table. God. That whole table is an arena, and all the interplay between everyone is an arena.
So you didn't ask for help, as more as you demand. All right, who's going to help me?
It wasn't even that. I said, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to take two of your treasures.
I mean, you remember that, right?
Well, that's because he was female and French, and in
Munchkin. Oh, no, I'm not talking about...
Well, that was yesterday.
I'm not talking about the last... I'm talking about when we first played. I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, hey, does anybody... Because I was new to the group. That was the first thing we did when I joined the group, was we played Munchkin.
Yes, a lot.
Terrible way to come in.
Yeah, myself and Munch, we were like, oh, yeah, let's play Munchkin. Because I think Munch had played before. I have never played...
Here's the thing.
I had never played Munchkin.
I had played a lot at Comic Oasis with other people.
Yeah.
And so I kind of had a head start. And when we started playing as a group, a lot of you guys didn't understand that it's very cutthroat. And, well, you understood that it was everybody against everybody, but you didn't understand that early in the game you need cooperation.
Didn't you win a tournament for, like, movie tickets or something?
I tied it. Yeah.
Can you say ringer with me?
Yeah,
How do you say
it? Well, what ring. It was because...
I'm good at this game. Let's play this game.
Because you guys were so, like, you just didn't understand. And I had a lot of experience. I'm not saying that. I didn't come in like, oh, I'm just going to kick their ass. I had a lot of experience playing already.
I'm the king of Catan.
So basically,
the way I perceived it, you might as well have.
So basically, you guys were just afraid to help each other. So I would just be like, I'm going to help you, and you're going to give me two treasures. Because if you don't, this is going to happen, like it says on the card. And you guys were like, oh, okay. So I did that. I got away with that a lot. And I think out of the first 10 times, I won 7. But then you guys started to figure
but
out
the
game.
I never had that problem. Because me and Munch helped each other out a lot. So you'd be like, I'll help you for 2 treasures.
That was just
part of the game. Or else he's going to have it right. But then Charles would be like, hey, man, don't worry. I'll help you for a treasure.
To be fair,
oh, okay, cool.
Compared to Charles and his lovely soft hands, everyone's going to seem a little rough. That's all I'm saying. I don't think Adam was that bad, but I think it's just that in comparison to Charles, who has lovely hands, I think that's probably the bigger,
it is a comparison contrast.
It
should be called the game of life because it is nasty and mean, and it will beat you down to the ground and keep you there if you let it.
But it doesn't have to. We can all be friends, and we can all win.
But that's not how Munchkin works. Yeah, what? Yeah,
we could all be elves, and we could all win together.
I'm thinking more so, does that mean I get to include, like, you know, I can, like, spike the food if I'm cooking that week and we're playing Munchkin? Because, hey, whatever you can get away with in Munchkin, it says.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Whatever you can get away with if you don't get caught. And I've used that rule. Never blatantly, but I have done little things to get away with stuff.
It's just
just like putting up a hat that says Pirates Only. If nobody notices, it's legal. Yeah. By the rules, that's legal.
Sure.
If nobody looks at your card and say, you can't use that, like you did yesterday to my brother. Yeah. You can't use that. It says Pirates Only. Like,
no, Don cheating. He's really changed.
He's really opened up these last few years.
What have we done to him? I remember he was like super conservative when we started, right? Like he kept quiet, just kind of laughed at what everyone else was
uncomfortably
doing. Yeah, and then we would make jokes to him and he would get like super uncomfortable about
sometimes,
it.
Sometimes,
and then as we progressed, he just kind of started opening up and it just became one of those things where now he makes jokes all the time with us and now we do things and he's not as uncomfortable.
Mm. Well, you know. It's part of being social.
Sure.
Opens you up a little bit.
That's how all of us. Yeah. I know when I started there, I was pretty quiet, and now I'm probably the most vocal person there.
Like, Louis, shut up.
And I'm like, no, you shut up.
Yeah. Any other anecdotes you guys want to share about gaming that you find interesting or outrageous?
I'm just saying, when we started, you when you asked for help, it was more of a demand than asking.
Exactly. Exactly. But then, like I said, as time went on and you guys got a lot better at the game, I couldn't get away with that. Like now, I play very conservative because I have to.
No,
I can't play that way
anymore. If you needed help in Munch, you'd be like, who wants to help me for a treasure?
Yeah.
I'll help you for 2 treasures. No.
No.
Okay, well then I guess I won't help you.
Yeah. Okay. And that's fair. That's your right in doing so. So it's if I'm not willing to take the deal, then that's the way it works, man.
But I've won a few games and I was friendly.
Oh no, it's well come
what?
On.
What?
Yeah, come on.
Fairly friendly.
What?
Fairly friendly.
You almost said that with a straight face.
How many times have I asked, hey, I'll help you for a high five. I'll help you for a hug.
And a treasure.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a hug. It was like, come on. It'll be a long, uncomfortable
hug.
That's true.
That's what you started saying. It went from being a Munchkin victory hug to some kind of prison thing.
You use humor to sugarcoat your Munchkin-y nastiness.
No, that is not true. Well, yesterday.
That's absolutely true.
Yesterday.
I don't like this game.
Is a good example. I offered you my help, and all I wanted in exchange was a hug.
And that's not true.
Hold on. No.
Oh, you did say one long uncomfortable hug.
No, I did not say that.
Yeah,
No. I didn't say a long uncomfortable hug. I said for a hug. And then I said, it's got to be 10 seconds or it's not a hug.
I swear it was like a minute.
Hmm? No, I said 10 seconds.
Oh, no. I said I was qualified to give hugs for like a minute.
Yeah, okay.
And I said, in that hug, nothing weird will happen. My hands won't wander. I won't smell you like a weirdo. Just one 10-second hug.
Yeah, but when
and
you're
I
standing
will
over
you.
Me, you know,
I even got
you're reasonably tall, and I'm sitting on a bench, and like, and your arms are out there, and you've got pretty long arms, and it's like, come on, for a hug, just one hug is going to be 10 seconds.
That explains why you reacted so well to my statement.
It was
I will help you, and you won't have to give him anything.
bad man,
stranger danger.
And that's all I said. Just give me a hug, and I will help you out of this jam, and you will win the game because I don't care. Mm. I don't care who wins.
Yeah, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take
and,
the deal.
And you didn't do it. And you didn't win that game.
And you did.
And I did. And all you had to do was give me one hug for 10 seconds and not
it
be
weird.
It was
all the qualifiers that
it's
made
not
the 10-second
weird.
Hug
it's not
weird.
The 10-second hug is not weird. You make it
look,
weird.
Look, I got a messed up territorial bubble anyway, and I was uncomfortable with you being in my territorial bubble. I mean,
listen,
and it's
after the 10 seconds, you could have flipped me. And it would have been fine because it was a 10-second hug before that. It would have been okay.
But I will be accepting that.
You had a lot of time to slowly shift your hips the right way.
And yeah. Just, oh, yeah. Prepare yourself.
With the, especially with the ottoman out of the way, nothing but hardwood floor.
Yeah. And look what happened. That one hug that you didn't give me caused me to win the game.
When we were playing Hackmaster, which to me is God's gift to hardcore RPGers, by the way, by Kenzer Company.
Yeah.
But we stopped playing it because most of us, I don't think, are that serious about the game. So you guys died a lot. But anyway, we were playing, and
that's
I remember you guys were assaulting a cave full of kobolds.
Kobolds.
Right?
Yeah.
And the fancy barbarian. There was a couple of kobolds off to the side, right?
Yeah.
And
we could have done that too.
And you guys observed, right? Yeah. And I said, the two kobolds off to the side, and I think you guys are like, what are they, scouts? What are they, this? What are they, guards? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, they look like they've been, they're cold, they're naked, and they have no weapons, and they have no fire.
So they were more like prisoners outcasts. Than anything.
Like, outcasts. Like outcasts. And I was like, exactly like that.
Malnourished, right? Just in terrible shape.
So Fancy Barbarian says, oh, I'm going to take them out.
For whatever reason.
Because we don't want them alerting the cave.
No, there were guards there.
And no, I know. And the rest of you went to take the guards out, except you really never had a plan to do that. You just sort of walked up on them, which, of course, immediately became shouts of kobold shouts up. Hey, 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 they're out here. You know,
sure.
Stuff like that. Meanwhile, the Fancy Barbarian is attacking these two or three kobolds, which even in Hackmaster standards, which is an incredibly deadly game compared to D&D, kobolds are pretty weak, and they didn't even have weapons. So it's not like they could even realistically hurt somebody who's in armor and with a sword, even as fancy as he was. He was a barbarian that actually used a rapier. That's why we called him Fancy Barbarian. So he's striking at these kobolds.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what are they doing? Are they trying to get away? Are they trying to run to the cave? And I go, they are literally doing this.
They were holding their hands up
They're
in fear.
They're holding their hands up, shaking in fear. And he's just hacking away. Meanwhile. Well,
that's the thing, though, is he wasn't hacking away. He kept missing. Yeah, he wasn't hitting them.
He did keep missing, yeah. I think he killed one of them, but yeah, he wasn't doing
that. That's
well.
Where most of his focus was yes. there.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you guys were starting to just deal with, instead of two guards, like three, four, five, six kobolds as they came running out of the cave ready for action. And then he's hacking at them, and I don't know if he killed another one or whatever. And I think you guys are all hollering at this time. There's a whole lot of clamor, and the kobolds
we were like, come on, man.
Screaming out of the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so good.
You guys get
hacked. We were yelling for help.
Hacked down by kobolds.
Yep.
As you're getting, you're not dead yet. You're getting hacked down by kobolds. What does the Fancy Barbarian do? Why don't you tell us, Frank?
Well, you know, after the deadly encounter with the outcast who wouldn't attack
him. Did not kill them all, by the way.
Yeah, didn't kill them all, and they were just kind of basically wetting themselves while laying in the mud.
Shaking in fear in the mud, yes.
Yeah, he ran away. He
just prances back off into the woods.
He ran away.
Leaving us behind.
Yep. Leaving you behind.
Yep. Just left us behind to die. And he was the only one who survived, and he held that over the rest of the survivors. You know, because, of course, now the next...
Of course, he said it was heroic. And,
I was the only survivor, you know, because I tried my best to save him. In reality,
at the same
time, ran over, kicked a couple of, you know, outcast, you know, kobold kids, and then ran off. And it's like,
But at the same time, we're making fun of him. We're like, hey, don't run away this time, okay?
Yeah. You don't know that. Yeah. You weren't there.
And I know when we played, I was a GM, and you guys would frustrate me because, like, 1 week, you guys would be on it.
Yeah.
Like, you well thought out, you know, you planned things, you never acted in haste, and you guys would actually foil, like, you did, like, some great things. Like, the orc on the freaking burial mound was awesome. Like, Don's character, Captain America, used his shield to block, like, a friggin' bouncing Betty and ended up blasting his shield, but he still
killed
the guy. I got
hit by that bouncing Betty.
Yeah, he still got killed the guy, and you got, like, just stuff like that. Like, I remember the dungeon, and that was the kobolds, too, with Ragnar One Eye or whatever.
And
you ended up getting out of there, which was like a death trap, and you guys got out of there, and you, like, wiped out a bunch of kobolds. Same kobolds, by the way, same group.
Yeah.
Oh, but then, like, the next gaming session, we're like, we're just going to charge in. Like, no forethought, and I'm just like, what the hell? These guys are killing me.
That was a problem, because sometimes we would not think things through, and other times we would overthink things.
Not overthink. You guys actually, sometimes when you guys were on, you guys
No. I'm talking about there. That was the bad parts, were either overthinking or not enough thinking.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of attention and non-attention, too. You know, because, I mean, you play for 4 hours. There's going to be lags.
Yeah. And at some point, you're
And I think after you guys went through, like, your third or fourth freaking new character, I was like, maybe this is a little too serious for these guys. I still love the system, though. I think it's fantastic. But, Any other funny stories before we cut out of here? Because we do want to keep this one short.
Okay. The time you guys actually used the red cloaks to escape when you were pretty much trapped.
Yep.
Which, yeah, by the way, trapped, which you were trapped in the ruins of a castle.
Yep.
By goblins, I believe.
Goblins, yeah.
By goblins.
This was D&D 5.
By like a bunch of goblins. Yeah. And then...
Still deadly, even in D&D 5.
The only time those red cloaks were ever useful to you is when you doused them in oil, set them on fire, and threw it on
the goblins, and then we set it on fire.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We didn't want it on fire with us. We were covered in oil.
You guys basically had an exit strategy. You were by an exit, but you couldn't get out because there was a bunch of, like 12 of the goblins there. Yeah. So the plan was to douse the cloak in oil.
We also poured oil under the door so we knew they'd be standing in it.
Right. So there was fire everywhere.
Yeah. So then we threw the cloak over them, and then we threw the torch out, and everything just went up.
While they were distracted by the cloak and...
We ran out.
They were distracted by the cloak and being on fire. Yep. You guys ran out into the woods and made it out alive.
And then I used... They actually started to regroup, I think. And then I used one of my spells to like put... Didn't I use like a phantasmic image? And I put it in his head that his boss was basically... who we killed, by the way. But basically, I put the image, and it was only good on him. I'm trying to remember what the phantasmal force, I think.
Yeah, only one person could see it. It couldn't move or something like that, but it could make sounds. Yeah,
it could talk. And I convinced them that we went that way, basically. Yeah. And they all went running off into the woods, and we were like, woo!
Let's just say at that particular moment, you guys had all the good rolls, and I had a bunch of crappy rolls. I was like, nope. They're fighting through the cloak.
You know what you need is one of those light-up D20s.
Yeah, that's what I need. So that's exactly bad. What I need.
I tell you, I think I told you guys this.
Think what I need is one of those rings that spins.
Oh, and I hate they're those like things.
That. So that's what I
hate those things.
No,
that light up D20. My little anecdote about that stupid thing. I bought it because I thought this is
it's
awesome.
A novelty,
and it's a big like 2.5-inch freaking D20.
Yeah,
and it's really cool looking. And if you roll a 20, it freaking blinks like, hey, critical. Yeah, I rolled that thing 100 times. 100 times. What's the percentage of 20s out of 100 times? Do you know offhand?
Well, it's a 20-sided die, so 5%.
Right? Ones also should come up 5%.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I got a 20 once, and I got the 1 17 times. That's not like, now granted, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be 5 and 5.
Yeah.
But you should be pretty close to that area.
Well, I think this thing was weighted because of the light.
Oh, yeah. It was weighted. It was weighted really bad because I used it in games for a few weeks. Always fumbling. Always.
It must run in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One more. Last one. Yep. What's the game that we play with the zombie dice?
Yes.
Yeah.
When your brother rolled God knows how many points to win the game.
14.
I think was it 14 points?
I had 13.
Yeah.
There's only one way he could win.
I never win at that game.
Because, only the people after you had a chance to beat.
And he had a chance.
I think this was the last round,
And he had so many, he had to reuse the dice.
And I think, he only had like 1 or 2 points when he started, right? Or
he had like,
or even none?
Yeah. Here's what I remember. I remember it was the last round.
Yeah.
I remember one of you guys had already gotten to the goal.
Yeah, Frank did.
Right.
Yeah.
So
only the people after him had a chance to win. I think I was out.
And you were, I was already out. Yeah. You were out right after that. Yeah. And then
Don,
your brother. Who rolled no shotgun blasts?
Yeah,
and only rolled like brains and the footprints. To roll again, kept, and like, he just kept getting points and points, and
he won.
And he said he was up by like 14 points. We were finally just like, you know what?
What the hell?
He ran out of dice.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
never saw a run like that ever. That was amazing.
And the worst, and that's the weirdest part, is your brother was the worst dice roller I had ever seen my whole life.
It saved up for that moment.
When we started, he was just like, he was not hitting anything. He kept fumbling everything. And then we gave him the name Fumble.
Yeah, what'd you use? Fumble, you used to say something about him.
Well, now you know who my brother is on the t-shirt.
You roll so bad that you make dice rolling look like an acquired skill.
Because then he started coming back and actually having dice rolls. Like, I practiced rolling dice, and I got really good at it.
Yeah.
But this didn't happen. They're dice.
Yeah.
They're chance cubes.
Yeah.
Not practice crazy. Cubes. Yeah, but he just made it seem like, I don't roll on the weekends, so I don't practice. Yeah, I don't practice.
Carry dice with me at work now. Yeah. Getting pretty powerful.
I know we play Starfleet Battle a lot. We still try to play. It's a little tougher now though. But years ago, I remember when I was raising my daughter, we had played every week pretty religiously. And one of our regular players was Chris, a guy who I was in the military with. And I remember like for probably like good 2 years, I would just every week I just get hammered. But I was also raising my daughter alone, And so my attention was always split. And I remember one game, it was me against you and Chris. My daughter was actually, I think, actually with her mom that weekend. And I could focus on the game.
And you had played more. You were a better player. You were playing.
I had played for years before you guys played.
Chris is, he was a better player than I was.
I think I had three ships because I had to match what you guys had in points.
Oh, that's right.
Because I think I had two drone cruisers, and they were nothing but drone cruisers. And,
Starfleet Battle is a game where you
very strategic,
choose
very
ships
tactical.
From the Star Trek universe to battle each other.
Right.
Star Trek original series universe specifically. Mm-hmm. And you battle each other. Yeah, that's a good point. And then I remember you guys were coming at me, like, pretty heavy. And I popped my drones. Those drone cruisers are pretty scary because a lot of drones come out at once and consistently, right? And, you know, the thing about drones is they're not – it's like one of the – drones are like slow zombies. You know what I mean? They're not that dangerous, honestly, as long as you can keep distance. And if they get you, it's going to get ugly because they do a lot of damage, a lot of nasty damage. And then you guys made the worst tactical call I've ever seen – in a strategic game ever. You guys went in opposite directions.
It seemed like such a good idea.
And I knew it was on. Yeah. I took that fully armed, refitted D7 and hunted, I don't remember which one of you down.
I think it was Chris, because I remember thinking, I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Until you were nothing but a limping shell. And then I just turned away for the other one because the drones were on the way. Oh, and when them drones hit, there was nothing left.
Yep.
And that rarely happens in Starfleet battles, by the way.
Yep.
And by the time I was done with Frank, also nothing left. That was my shining moment. But anyway, we got to get out of here because we are killing it with time today.
Send us your stories about gaming on our Facebook at the Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. If you find a good one, we'll talk about
it. Any games, Tiddlywinks, Go Fish.
Yeah.
Cards Against Humanity.
Jax.
Starfleet Battles. D&D First Edition. We don't care. Games you can't get Luis to play. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Any game.
Not play Star Trek.
Hide the Sock. No, not that game. you guys missed that, thank God.
Yeah. tell us on Facebook at the Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. Remember, you only have 140 characters, so.
That's right. You can email us directly.
Try to keep it short.
You can email us directly at You can email us directly at gegahub@gmail.com. Email us directly, gegahub@gmail.com.
It doesn't have to be about that. Just tell us how we're doing a good job, I guess.
And that you love us or hate us and think our show sucks because, you know you made it when people give you crap.
And then we know we didn't make it when we get no email.
Yeah, there you go.
I know. Yeah. And then TeePublic, remember we have a new design app and more to come.
More to come, and the designs have been retouched, so they actually are a bit cleaner now, and there's a little bit better look to them. Not cleaner, that's just a better look to them because we realized, we spent a lot of time designing them, not a lot of time in figuring out where they should go on the shirt.
So support the show that way. Get your favorite t-shirt. They're not all art shirts. They're all, some of them are gaming shirts and stuff like that. And thanks for
everybody
joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
From the Frank Show.
Woo! Yeah.
Now is the end of the Frank Show. From Willie.
Created by Louise LaTorre and Munch, The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher and was recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at gigahub.com and on Facebook under The Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. The show's theme is Shot Lunatique by the band Turquoise. You can find them at turquoiseband.com. TurquazeBand.com for music, merchandise, tour dates, and much more.